Okay. They didn't believe me.
Oh boy.
Yep. Where's Chad?
Where is Ja? Where is Chad?
Yeah. Where's the other? What was the other guy's name?
Why don't I know this?
For the life of me, I can't remember dude's name.
Haley.
Haley? Was that his name?
I think so. I'm sorry, it's Shay Haley.
You said it's Jay Hood?
No, Shay Haley.
Shay. Yes,
but,
Shay.
But Jay Hood and NERD would be fantastic.
I feel like I heard Jay Hood rap over Lap Dance at some point in my life. I feel like that's happened. On like a DJ Cool Kid tape or something.
You're listening to Clock Radio Speakers with Armand and Doc. This week's episode is split into two sides. This is Side A.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Clock Radio Speakers. I'm your co-host, Armand Wake Up. You can follow me on Twitter at Armand Wake Up, A-R-M-O-N-D, Wake Up, all one word. More important than that, please follow the official Clock Radio Speakers Twitter handle, which is at CRS Podcast. ClockRadioSpeakers.com is where you can get all 200 episodes of our show. We are also on iTunes. You can vote, rate, subscribe, comment, all that good stuff. We are also, I was about to say, we're also on Pinterest.
You know,
Armand
has been trying to curate his next home renovation project.
Pretty much. I've been on Pinterest a lot lately. I'm trying to tell my boys that's where you find you a good woman, good clean woman on Pinterest.
On Pinterest?
Yeah. They're not out here
Snapchatting?
Nah, they don't have, the good clean girls, I mean, they have, the good clean girls have a Snapchat that, like, they don't let everybody see.
Mm.
So it's like, it's the friend Snapchat. It's the one they just let, like, friends and a couple coworkers.
Right.
Have. Or maybe they have one just to, like, watch their nieces or, if they're a little older, they've got daughters, stuff like that. The Snapchat monitor. But if you're out here, like, every day, we out here, snap. Mm-mm. Anyway. I forgot. What is that other website that we're on? What is the other podcast thing that we're on?
Everybody, just go to clockradiospeakers.com.
Just go to
clockradio. We are everywhere that you subscribe to podcasts, period.
Except SoundCloud, because they're trash.
Sorry, so, SoundCloud.
No, definitely not sorry. Doc, what's up, man?
Feeling a little under the weather, but I'm here. I'm alive. I'm in the streets. Not really, obviously. Never in the streets. But no, everybody can follow me if you want, at @doc_beats, S not a Z. No, man, everything's good. How's your Thanksgiving?
Thanksgiving was great. Kids were here, celebrated Christmas on Thanksgiving. So my family, my girl's family, we all got together and did presents and got all of that out the way. So I don't have to touch a mall. I don't have to do nothing this month. All my December money is mine to be selfish. Like,
so you got to play Santa Wake Up.
Santa Wake Up is so trash.
You prefer Armand Claus? Because I don't know.
No, that's even worse. Santa Wake Up probably be better, but it's still trash.
Santa Wake Up would be the name of a terrible Christmas themed song.
Totally. That would be like back in the 90s when, like, rappers used to do like Christmas albums, Death Row Christmas, a LaFace Family Christmas, a Wake Up Family Christmas.
A Wake Up Family Christmas could be fire, though.
Yeah, that kind of. If I didn't hate Christmas, well, not hate Christmas. If I didn't hate Christmas carols.
Mm. Oh, and every song, I'm going to pitch up Christmas carols.
Yo, if you sample Winter Wonderland and like speed it up, we're not doing this podcast like ever again.
A lot of hi-hats. Just a lot of hi-hats.
Yo, is Winter Wonderland the worst Christmas song ever?
No, Little Drummer Boy. Who likes...
I like the Temptations version of Little Drummer Boy.
I mean like the white people version of Little Drummer Boy.
Which one?
It's depressing. It's like... It's like, no, stop. Just, no, stop.
How many ways, record labels, can you flip the same 9 Christmas songs. Oh my God. If I hear another EDM or like pop rock, like.
Now, an EDM Little Drummer Boy might be lit. Like that.
Just that would be like Animal from like the Muppet Baby. Just. It will be a lot. A lot of drumming will be going on. It'd be crazy. But I'm Thanksgiving. Go ahead.
I'm just picturing like a hip hop Little Drummer Boy. Just a lot of like Just Blaze 2007 drum riffs.
Oh, a lot of 1500 or nothing.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yes.
Yeah. Show me what you got, drums.
The game would definitely make a song called Little Drummer Boy. Are we sure he hasn't made a song called Little Drummer Boy?
And he probably sampled Donny Hathaway and flipped Dr. Dre's Little Ghetto Boy into Little Drummer Boy.
Oh, wait. Are we sure that didn't happen?
I don't put anything past game. One of those GU Not mixtapes.
What
if totally has
a GU Not Christmas?
Oh God. You know what's funny? I just saw an Instagram post that said the game was 38.
Congratulations. Wasn't supposed to make it past 25.
Right. But you remember the joint he had on One Blood where he was coming at Jay when he was like, you 38 and you still rapping. Ooh.
We're gonna talk about Jay rapping like an old man today.
Oh, here we go.
The dude is, you know, got a lot of Grammy nominations. But before we get there.
How was your Thanksgiving before we get into that?
So I was sick last week. So basically, Thanksgiving was good. You know, had to do a thing where you like, you know, you really time your medicine and like your tea and your shower so that you feel like you're like at like maximum strength so you can go. Like, you know, be festive with the family and you got to do like the holiday pictures and you do the whole thing. So we do like the extended family Christmas card, picture on Thanksgiving. So, you know, you gotta be right.
Yep.
Yep. I'll tell you, it's funny. So, you know, like the little Sony camera I have, you've seen that.
Yep.
Pretty good, right?
Yep.
We were doing side by side comparison. We did that and the iPhone X and with the portrait mode and we were iPhone 10 with the portrait mode and we were like,
X killing it.
We like the iPhone shots better. Yeah,
X gonna give it to you.
They should have just called it the iPhone X. Call it the iPhone 10 is dumb. But anyway,
yeah.
No,
it's not. That's trash.
I know it's trash. But no. No, Thanksgiving was pretty good. Yeah, you know. I'm always fascinated by the differences. We've talked about this in the show before. Definitely, like the differences between what people have for Thanksgiving.
Yeah, we talked about that last year.
That's right. Like, I'm always amazed by the fact that like. Mac and cheese is a Thanksgiving food. Like that sounds amazing, but that's just not like a Thanksgiving I've ever like been a part of.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whereas I'm sitting there like, I'm just hoping the turkey's not too dry. And I'm like, which is why, like, I don't know. I like Thanksgiving, but like, you know, when it comes to food for me, I'm all about Easter, Christmas.
Yeah. 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 Christmas food is kind of underrated. Like, Christmas dinner is kind of underrated.
Like ham is good. Also, like if you're, especially when you're like, if it's a big family, you're talking about like you need to cook a lot of food and like timing can be kind of funny, like because you got to juggle stuff and 9/11. Like ham is very forgiving.
Listen, that's what we have. We didn't have turkey this year.
Oh, see,
turkey's low key trash.
Turkey's hard.
Turkey's right? Low key trash. I'm cool with ham every year for the rest of my life.
But if you do, would I never understand it? If you're gonna eat turkey, like you got to eat the dark meat. Like,
never had dark turkey.
Really?
Nah, never had it.
Oh man.
Yeah, I'm willing to try. I've just never had it.
It's more forgiving of, like it holds moisture a bit better. Like, cause turkey, you know, you could just make it dry, and then all of a sudden, it's really like, well, I'm having a little bit of turkey with my gravy is what's happening.
Okay, gotcha.
But yeah, Thanksgiving was good, man. Okay. Because I was sick, I only worked Monday last week. I just took the rest of the week off.
Yeah, weeks off for Thanksgiving are kind of underrated too. I might do that this year.
And
just work through Christmas and New Year's because nobody be in the office anyway.
See, I just have the whole week off in between. Like, I couldn't even work if I tried. They just shut down.
Yeah, oh yeah. I work for a school. Yeah.
No, we're... yeah. So anyway, so since we last spoke.
Yeah, previously on Ready to Die.
Previously on Clock Radio Speakers, you went to go see the man, Sean Corey Carter.
I did.
Shea
saw him in Detroit. Yep. Saw him in the D. Saw him at the new Little Caesars Arena.
The Dan Gilbert Palace.
Dan Gilbert's trash, by the way. He's not a friend of the show at all. Oh,
what's up?
Looks like Porzingis snapped his right ankle.
Oh man, we can't have anything nice anymore.
Nope. Knicks can't do anything. I'm just gonna go ahead and blame Cantor, just because I don't like him. Yes, I went to see. Here's the problem, Doc. Here's
okay,
the problem.
Tell me.
When you go to a concert and you get floor seats,
yeah,
anything less, anything after that, that's less than that, is kind of trash.
Okay.
So what ended up happening was I got the $90 seats.
Yeah.
And I think my problem was I always tell the story when I saw Glow in the Dark opening night, Key Arena, $60 seats, directly in front, behind the control booth, in front of the concert, or in front of the stage, fantastic seating, one of the greatest concerts I've ever been to, along with St. Pablo. So I'm always trying to like relive that, but then not break the bank for it. So I thought, and I heard the, oh, you can't get a bad seat in Little Caesars Arena, because I'm thinking it's a new stadium. And this is what I heard. I definitely should have popped for the tier above the $90 seats, because the $90 seats ended up being a notch below the nosebleeds.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. And I think I underestimated when I looked at the seating and when I looked at the way the stadium was, I underestimated just how far we were going to be.
Right.
So had I not went to the Janet Jackson concert, been third row in the middle, I wouldn't have thought anything of it, because I kind of like seeing over everything, especially with a show like Jay's and like Kanye's, where like the stage is in the middle or it's moving around in Kanye's case. So it wasn't that bad. I know there were some spots where like the screens at the top were kind of blocking the view a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So I got good seats for what it was. I just wish I would have got the bowl, like the lower bowl for real, and not the middle bowl. So that's my fault. That's my L. Vic Mensa opened the show.
Okay.
I really I wanted Vic. Vic is one of those guys where like you want to see what other people say about him, but then you realize that everybody's saying the same thing and the label is saying these things about him. So what I mean by that is he's not very good. He is a less convicting Jumanji Cole. Now, you all know how I feel about J. Cole, but the thing about J. Cole is he makes you buy what he's selling.
Okay.
So he does a great job. His image, his team, even his show, everything looks like it's a mess and it's random, but you can tell if you watch it, it's very calculated, even down to I'm floor seats courtside at the Laker game and I have on a Hanes t-shirt, some Jordan shorts and some dusty ones. Like, that's all intentional. Like, I'm on to you, Jumanji. Vic Mensa is just like, it's just not there.
Doesn't do it. Doesn't work for you.
I don't think it works for anybody. I think because of the way that they present him and he signed to Roc Nation, all these things kind of fit to where people want to like him, or Roc Nation says, or people that you trust say, hey, here's this guy, like him. And everybody's like, there's already another version of you that's better that you gave us, because Cole is your man. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, by your man, I mean Jay, Roc Nation.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. Not Clock Radio Speakers, your man. Not your man. Your man. So, but it was just, he did a 40-minute set. The first 15 minutes weren't bad at all. I'll say that. A lot of energy, engaging, but literally nobody was there. And I'll get to that in a second. Nobody was there. By the time people started filing in, he was already in like the downslope of his set.
Ooh.
Yeah. So like he's like turning down. So it was just bad timing for him. I will say this, though. A lot of the people that I was sitting around, he had this little like turning sign that had Vic Mensa, looked like a little flag or whatever, had his name on there. I did see people Googling him, which was, you know, that's kind of what you want. Like, I think Vic and they know, like, this audience has no idea who you are.
Right. They're not there for you.
So, you know, get them to at least look you up on Instagram. Follow you on Spotify, check out your music, something. And I saw the people around me, he were at least interested in doing that. So, but for me, somebody who's heard him and heard of him several times is trying to give him a shot, like, it just wasn't working. I've already spent too much time talking about Vic Mensa. So Okay, so he does like a 40, 45 minute set. There's no DJ. There's no ominous Kanye music. If you've seen St. Pablo, like just like the demonic, like, like that, that was playing until Kanye came out, which was totally weird. It's about 9:30 and all of a sudden, like I'm looking and this is when I tweeted, I'm looking and I'm like, yo, like nobody's really in the crowd. And you know, you, and I think I'm paying attention to that because of the articles that are saying that the tour is not selling out. Although I'm seeing IG stories from people that I follow, different locations, the buildings look for the most part sold out. So he comes out, there's like a little montage or whatever that, you know, it's like a visual representation of Kill Jay-Z. He goes into Kill Jay-Z. Then he goes from Kill Jay-Z into the Evils. Yeah. I'm like, oh, this is what we're doing. Okay. And by that time, everything filled up. Hold on, let me.
He is having some attendance problems on tour. And they actually outright canceled two shows. And they said it was like, oh, they couldn't get like the screens there in time or something, but it sounded kind of like, meh.
Okay. I'm looking at the set list now. I forget. He goes Kill Jay-Z, No Church in a While, Lucifer, The Evils, Heart of the City. By the time Ain't No Love comes on, the crowd is, it's about 93% full, yeah. But there are definitely like a row here and there that's completely empty.
Interesting.
Yeah. Very interesting. So going through the set list, when he gets to Run This Town, when Run This Town is the sixth song, I'm already like, he's not here for me.
What I mean by me, I mean like,
I'm a nerd. I'm a Jay-Z nerd. To me, Jay's the greatest rapper ever. I've been a Jay fan since 1996. Of course, I want to hear Can I Live?
You heard The Evils.
The crowd was so quiet for The Evils. I know. I'm getting there.
Okay.
So he goes in the F with Me, You Know I Got It. He does Beaches Better, which was interesting. He goes from Beaches Better to 444, which makes sense now that I think about it. He got 444 out the way really quick. It was just kind of weird. And then he goes immediately into Bam. Bam, Jigga My Nigga, Hova, Dirt Off Your Shoulder. Dirt Off Your Shoulder is the dopest visually. Like, he does a lot with the lights. Somebody was watching the St. Pablo tour, clearly. Dirt Off Your Shoulder and On to the Next One. The way On to the Next One drops was really dope because he plays the sample and then it just goes. It's like super Armand and Doc-ish. It was dope. And then I'm just going through. One thing that he didn't do that he did in Cleveland, but I wish he would have did it here. He did a Jigga What, Jigga Who over Thuggish Ruggish Bone. Yeah, I needed that, but didn't get it. Of course, the highlight is him doing Allure. Crowd got quiet for that too. And then for him to do the second verse of Dead Presidents over Allure, just that was it.
You were good.
I was good at that point. And so what was interesting was the people around me, there was two people who were around me, like women who were there for the end of the show, because the end of the show is Story of OJ, Niggas in Paris, Empire State of Mind. He does Where I'm From a little. He goes Where I'm From, the Empire State of Mind, Hard Knock Life, Smile, and then he ends with the Linkin Park version of Encore, which was complete trash.
Yeah, that's terrible.
Terrible.
I mean, he's doing that as a tribute to the lead singer, but still. It's still a bad song.
Let me let you in on a secret, Doc.
Okay.
Black people love saying rest in peace. Don't ask me why. I don't know.
What about rest in power? How do you feel about that?
Oh, God. The woke people like saying rest in power. Rest in power. So all the people who were around me were like a little older. Like there weren't different. The way that Kanye had a very diverse crowd in terms of you knew when they were a Jay-Z fan or when they were a Kanye fan. So you had your graduation fans, your Yeezus fans, etc. Like, at the Jay-Z concert, everybody was pretty much a fan around the same time. There were very few, maybe like Beyonce Jay-Z fans or Lil Wayne Jay-Z, you know, I got a 44, you 44. Like, there wasn't a whole lot of new Jay-Z fans at this show. It was pretty consistent. Early to late 30s, early 40s, like, at least my section was pretty solid. There were also a lot of grown men who were you kind of tell that they've kind of got the Jay's my dad sort of thing.
Oh.
Which is really weird and awkward. And I don't know if we've had that conversation on Clock Radio Speakers, but it may be one we need to have.
I think, I mean, honestly, I think we sort of did when we talked about the reaction people had to 444.
Okay, we did. You're right. You can go check that out, clockradiospeakers.com. So to wrap up, overall, the show was solid. At this point, 13 albums, 20-year career, he has to do this show. There wasn't anything that he did, or there wasn't anything that he didn't do from a... Because, I mean, when Empire State of Mind came on, like, the crowd lost it, and I was like, what? I sat down. I hate that song. But that's his... That's his biggest song, right?
I guess.
I feel like that's his most successful. I feel like I read somewhere that's his most successful song. And then the version of Encore with Linkin Park is his second most successful. Come on, yikes. Google it up.
No, I'm good. I'm good.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, somebody else will do it.
Shout all right. Now you're going to. All right. Hold on.
Yeah, hit us up at CR. No. Come on, man.
I want to see his highest selling single. All right. Let's see. Yeah. His, yeah. Empire State of Mind was number one on the Billboard charts for 5 weeks. Run This Town after that.
Oh, Run This Town is two. Interesting.
Now, I'm not counting records where he guested on, right? So like Crazy in Love.
No.
Umbrella, Suit and Tie.
No.
Yeah.
No, those are records of other people. They were talking about that with Mace, but we'll get into that shortly.
Right. Oh, man. Yeah, after Run This Town is 03 Bonnie and Clyde. My God.
So, yeah, it was very much, it was cool. It was solid. On the way home, I just threw on the B-side show and just like, this is what I need him to go on tour and do a B-sides tour. Either that or he does that show again and I fly out to New York.
Like, right.
That's super bucket list. The show was solid. I had more fun at the Janet concert and the St. Pablo tour was better. It was a more engaging show. Like Jay, the set was, it was cool. It was cool. And what I mean by cool was like, it was exactly what Jay-Z was supposed to do at this point in his career. Me just being a Jay-Z nerd, I just wanted some other stuff. But what I got was dope. It was cool.
Okay.
So there's that. Speaking of Jay.
Yeah.
You want to get into these Grammy nods?
Let's do it. Stunned by the Grammys this year.
Let me pull my...
Right.
Because I glanced. I didn't really like delve into them like I wanted to.
Stunned if only because like I look at like record of the year, album of the year. Like if you look at the big top line categories.
Yeah.
There's a lot of names familiar to folks. I mean, like we reviewed 4 of the 5 albums of the year on this show.
Look, man. Listen, man. Obviously, somebody on the Grammy committee listens to the show.
Yeah.
So they just, you know.
Right. So, album of the year.
Album of the year. Let's go.
Childish Gambino, Awaken My Love.
Okay. When did that... Did that come out 16 or 17?
Late 16.
Oh, okay. So, it's not
going to be a month. So, and as a reminder for listeners, I complain about this every year. The Grammy time span is like October to September.
Yeah.
Right. So, Awaken My Love, 444.
Okay.
Damn.
Okay.
The Lord album.
Okay. And then I heard good things about.
And 24 Karat Magic.
Okay.
That's a super interesting. I mean, I look at that and I'm like, I can see 3 different scenarios for who wins.
Talk to me. Let's go.
I honestly think Jay has a chance.
Yeah.
I think, and you know, I'm not the biggest fan of 444. I will go back and revisit it. I will definitely do that in time for the end of the year. But
it's going to make your list.
It might. Joking. It's been a rough year.
Word.
But you know, Hollywood does this where, and I think the Grammys have done it too, but Hollywood does this thing where like when somebody has a quote unquote late career, like resurgence or a moment and they haven't rewarded them appropriately to date.
Yep.
Right. They give, so like Martin Scorsese won his only best picture. Oh, his best picture? No, he won a best director, but his only like Academy Award was for The Departed.
Mm.
Not his best, but later in his career, people really liked it. So it became like this, well, you know, we're going to give it to him this year. Even though he should have got it for Goodfellas, right?
Right. Even with Leo, right?
Yeah. Leo, I mean, at least Leo is not quite as, like, I don't know. I thought the Revenant, I understood why he won, right? But, like, you could see for Jay where, like, it's two things. It's, you know, here's Jay making, in this narrative, in this article you talked about before we started recording, right? This sort of, like, here's Jay making, like, this mature hip-hop album. You know, he's talking about his, like, his real life, and it's a whole new Jay-Z, and it was critically and commercially successful. Like, you could see, and in the era where, like, the record industry is grappling with what do we do with streaming? And, like, they're trying to figure this out. Like, here's an album, right? You could see it, like, this is Jay's time, right? I could also see, okay, Kendrick, we really screwed up on Good Kid, Mad City.
Yep.
The last time around, we at least got you the nominee, but we didn't get it there. But this time you're getting it.
Yep.
And I could see that. I could definitely see Kendrick walking away with a lot of Grammys.
I think he's getting a lot of things, getting some hardware.
I also think Childish Gambino could sneak in there.
I agree with that too.
I think he also has a very compelling story, but it's also an album his sound draws on sort of, I don't want to say retro sounds, but like certainly like classic sounds, right?
He took
it's funkadelic and it's like, yeah. And so, I'm sorry, I cut you off. What were you going to say?
No, I was going to say, I was laughing at the 24 Karat Magic video. He just took all of everybody's favorite records from 1994 and just repurposed them.
Well, we'll talk about Bruno in a second. But like you could almost see this, like I could almost see the mental. Remember that picture of Lauryn Hill when she won all those Grammys? She could almost like barely hold them. I could just see Childish Gambino doing that.
Yep. Totally.
I don't know enough about the Lord album to do it. And Bruno, I suspect
Let
Bruno.
Be royals.
Right. Sorry. I totally could see Bruno walking away with at least one or two awards.
He's getting some hardware.
But album of the year would be a strong statement for that. Like, it's a good album. I like that album. But
yeah,
with those other three, like those other three are albums, right? Like we like record of the year and song of the year, also heavily dominated by hip hop and R&B, which is just, again, it's amazing. Logic got a song of the year nominee.
Everybody, gotta get again. I gotta, butter, you and everybody, but like people are wonderful.
And I got a Grammy.
And I got a Grammy. You got a Grammy, I got a Grammy, gotta get a Grammy, hit a Grammy, hit a, get it.
I mean, right, Jay, for record of the year, has the story of OJ.
Yeah.
And then song of the year, 444.
Yeah.
Jay will be interesting. Jay's definitely walking away with some hardware.
Well, he's also, isn't he getting like a songwriter's contribution award or something
Really?
Like that? Yeah, he's getting something. They're honoring him at the Grammys for sure. I know that definitely.
But I mean, so Jay has 8 nominees. Kendrick has 7. Bruno Mars, 6. And Childish Gambino and SZA and Khalid have 5.
Is it Khalid or Khalid?
I say Khalid because if I say Khaled, I think DJ Khaled, but maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, okay.
But let's say Khaled.
I'm actually shocked about him. I haven't really delved into his project, but I was really shocked to see him as much as I did on the Nas. SZA too.
Well, the record of the year and song of the year stuff is really interesting, right? Like, so like Redbone is nominated for record of the year. I could record of the year, I have no idea where they're going to go, right? So record of the year, Redbone, Despacito, which I know who likes that song. Story of OJ, Humble, and 24 Karat Magic. Like, I have no idea where they're going to go with record of the year.
Listen, I don't think I've ever heard Despacito.
It's impossible.
No, I'm totally.
But like, if we scroll down and if we sort of go into the R&B and the hip hop.
Like, wait, hold on.
Go ahead.
Nah, I haven't heard this.
Coming over in my direction.
No.
No,
never. Where would I be to hear that song? Outside? Is that one of those records?
They don't play it at the bougie Whole Foods you go to now.
I definitely went to Whole Foods this weekend and bought a $15 candor. I'm trash. Okay, let's move into the.
If we go deeper in.
I'll wait.
What were you gonna say?
Where you wanna go?
No, I was gonna say we can go to the rap fields.
Okay, let's go hip hop. Hold on.
Before you
get into that, just thank you, Grammys, for having the full nominees and having the ability to click on the genre that I want to see and it going directly to that. That's nice. Okay, let's go.
So you want to look at the impact that streaming has had.
Let's go. Let's talk about it.
Cardi B has two nominees.
Two nominees.
Two nominations.
Two nominations. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Best rap performance and best rap song. Incredible.
How many did the Amigos get?
Zero. Oh, I'm sorry. Best rap album.
They got bet. What?
Culture. Yeah. Did you see? Let's start at best rap album.
Okay. Best rap album. Let's go.
444.
Yep.
Damn.
Yep.
Culture.
Yep.
The Rhapsody album.
Whoa. Well, yeah. I mean, Common gets nominated. It's like the conscious nomination. We always get that.
And Tyler.
Congratulations to Tyler.
I think what would be interesting about that is like if I wonder if they'll try to split like and go if Jay wins here, does Kendrick win elsewhere, or is it more of a trend? Like that'll be interesting to watch on award night, right? On Grammy night. But
yeah.
I mean, out of all that, I mean honestly, I would probably pick maybe Tyler. I don't know. Although he's singing on half of it, but
I would give Tyler best rap album because I know that Jay-Z and Kendrick are going to get awards elsewhere.
Right.
I don't expect Rhapsody to win, and I definitely don't expect the Migos to win. I would give it to Tyler.
Rhapsody also nominated for best rap song.
What?
Sassy.
What?
Yeah.
Out of all the songs on that album, you picked the worst one?
You got to remember, you have to submit. Right.
You have to submit. So
what is so I oh let me clarify that. I try to say this every year, but it's a good reminder. This is not like there's a panel of experts who went digging through their Apple Music and Spotify history for the year and dug up what they listened to. No. Labels and artists say, please consider this work for best rap song, best rap album, etc. So if you have a label that is going to push, they will pick a particular song.
That's interesting. So that's the record you pick.
Right. That meant that they thought Sassy had a chance. And clearly, amazingly, it did.
It made it.
Right.
So question.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about More Life? Not
on here
at all.
Right. Did Drake just not submit anything?
Right. That's the question.
Right. Like Migos, listen, if Bodak Yellow and you know some Danger Mouse Run the Jewels song that like nobody heard are going to be nominated for best rap song and you're telling me I take that back. Migos nominated best rap performance for Bad and Bougie.
Okay, I thought I saw Bad and Bougie now.
Yeah, so they got two nominees. But I feel like Migos have been everywhere this year. I almost would have expected more. But like I can't believe Crew got nominated for a Grammy.
Yeah,
the Gold Link record. That's my favorite hook of the year.
It's a good hook.
That's a great hook. It's a very 90s hook.
Yeah.
I love that hook. The rest of the song I could care less about.
Yeah.
But I love that hook.
Yeah.
Beat's good too, but yeah. I mean, they're not winning for that, but shout out to Gold Link, Brett Faiyaz, and Shy Glizzy. Like that, good for them.
Brett Faiyaz sounds like a producer name from the early 2000s. I feel like Brent Faiyaz was on an album with like Megahertz in 2003.
Brent Faiyaz sounds like a Dragon Ball Z character. So best rap song performance, Problems, Crew, Family Feud, Loyalty, and Love Galore. I don't know if there's an obvious winner there. I think it's Loyalty or Family Feud, just due to the names.
I'm going Loyalty there.
I think Family Feud. I think they're going to say Jay-Z and Beyonce, and they're going to vote for it.
Oh, that's why they submitted it as Jay-Z featuring Beyonce.
Yes.
That's trash.
That's right. That's part of it. Like you submit what you think you can get, right? Best rap performance, though, man, that is Bounce Back, Bodak Yellow, 444, Humble, and Bad and Bougie. Literally no idea.
Humble's going to get that.
You think so?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Migos might get that, though.
You ready for Lil Uzi Vert to get a Grammy?
Yeah. I'm not ready for Cardi to get a Grammy.
She might.
She might. She's got everything else this year.
But what's amazing here is like So not saying that they necessarily had stuff, but like we're looking at a year where for best rap performance, right? No Drake anywhere to be found anywhere on any of this stuff.
Yeah.
Right. I don't see Kanye anywhere, although he didn't put out much, but I'm saying like in terms of big names, right? No Drake, no Kanye, no Eminem. Like M will likely be next year, unfortunately, but like,
okay, sorry.
Right. Walk on water. But you know, like there's this, there's quite a bit of like a new generation coming up here. It's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, totally. It's a changing of the guards, but I think that changing of the guards happened maybe like 2 years ago.
Oh no, totally. I'm looking at this and I'm like, I can't believe Problems and Crew got Grammy nods. Like, that's amazing.
I feel like every year there's a, I can't believe this person got nominated for a Grammy. I feel like that happens quite a bit.
I mean, I honestly can't believe Rhapsody got 2 Grammy nods. That's amazing.
That's crazy.
You're right. That's the Common Sense Memorial spot.
Yeah, Common Sense Memorial. The Common Sense Memorial nomination. It's like a scholarship.
Somewhere Talib Kweli is mad.
Listen, you followed Kweli on Twitter. He's always mad. I'm looking.
Do you want to go up to R&B? Because R&B makes no sense to me whatsoever. But you're the R&B head, so I need help with this. I need help with this.
Okay.
Here's what I don't get.
Yeah.
So every year they do this split between best urban contemporary album.
Yeah.
And best R&B album.
Yeah.
And typically that means the more traditional stuff is on the R&B side.
Mm-hmm.
And yet 24 Karat Magic and the Daniel Caesar album get nominated for best R&B. But Awaken My Love is best urban contemporary.
It's childish as hair.
Well, when it's totally well, especially if he's still got the Lando Calrissian beard going on. Like he's going to show up.
Right.
Right. Okay.
He's totally showing up like that.
So the best urban contemporary. So it's Free Black, right? I always get that wrong.
I just call him Six Lack.
Six Lack. Okay. Yeah. Awaken My Love, American Teen, the Khaled album, Control, yeah. SZA, and Starboy, The Weeknd. I know.
I hate the name of that album. I think that might be
Starboy.
Just as contrived as. Yo, I went back and never mind.
No, go ahead. What?
No.
We're everywhere today.
I went back and listened to House of Balloons. I think I'm finally over that album.
You know, it has. Some of that has not aged well.
I think it hasn't aged well because everybody took that style and ran it all the way into the ground.
Mm.
2011, you weren't hearing that type of music.
Sure.
At all. So we give 808s all the credit, and shout out to Hyphen who sent that tweet out earlier this week on 808s. Was it 808's anniversary?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. So it's true. 808, we talked about that at length on this show. 808s has sparked a generation's worth of music. 808s gave birth to So Far Gone. So Far Gone, I'm sure I'm missing a project in there, but So Far Gone definitely gave birth to House of Balloons.
Oh, yeah.
So it's kind of like, but I feel like those two projects, not as much, but should get recognized for what they did. I think So Far Gone kind of does, but I don't think House of Balloons gets acknowledged for what it did to R&B at all. I think they just give that credit to Drake, or they do it with Take Care. But Take Care is like a polished House of Balloons.
Sort of.
It's got records. Like, yeah, I mean, yeah. The Weeknd's all on that.
Right.
Prime Abel is all over Take Care.
That's right.
So that's what I mean. Obviously, the producer wasn't there anymore, whatever. But,
yeah.
But yeah, I've always held that album in high regard just because of the just absolute madness that happened the summer that mixtape was out. I was just in a really bad place, just doing a lot. And now I'm like, all right. Glass Table Girls are still dope.
Yeah.
Beat Switch. But, you know. Anyway.
Anyway, so, you know, there's right. I don't know. I think that like best R&B performance. There's some good songs here.
Yeah.
Right, Get You, Daniel Caesar, and I can never pronounce her name right.
I think it's Kali Uchi.
Right.
Uchis? We sound really old.
We do. No, that's a great song.
It's a dope record.
I think Bruno's winning that, though.
Oh, yeah.
And I think Childish is going to win the best traditional with Redbone.
Yeah, I can see that.
Right.
I can see that.
Anything of the R&B stuff like stick out as, oh, huh, I'm surprised.
Let's see.
I was almost wondering if Sid was going to sneak something in here.
Nah.
Everybody forgot about her project.
Totally did. Legacy gets like the Angie Stone Memorial nomination every year. That title is also shared with Anthony Hamilton.
Anthony Hamilton got the Anthony Hamilton nomination. Right. So that's a really good look for him.
Right. Did not know Fauntleroy wrote on That's What I Like. Interesting.
Fauntleroy writes on a lot of Bruno Mars.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does. I feel like SZA, I'm surprised SZA got four nods. I would not be surprised if she maybe got one.
I think she might get something. I think that SZA album's really good.
It's produced really well.
It is.
Yep.
I mean, the problem is, like, in a sense, you know, there are everywhere where she's nominated, either Bruno or Childish is also nominated. And I feel like one of those two is cleaning up. But every year there's always somebody who just gets totally shut out. Right. This year, well, like everybody, it's not really on the hip hop R&B side. It's on the pop side. Everyone's stunned that Ed Sheeran only got two nominations across the board.
Yeah.
Even though he had a huge album, huge hits, like people are just like, huh? So but like there's going to be somebody from this list. Like, they could mix it up, but I don't know. I feel like between Jay, Childish, Kendrick, and Bruno, at least one, if not two of those, people are going to be like, wait, they only got one? Like, it's going to be something like that. There's always surprises.
So let's look at Best New Artist.
Oh, Best New Artist is always interesting.
So we got Alicia Cara, who's been out for 3 years. We've got Khalid, yep. Whatever. We got your man Lucifer.
Lil Uzi Vert.
Yeah. We got Julian Michaels. I have no idea who that is. Mm-hmm. And we've got the SZA.
Yeah.
The old dirty bastard. Inspector Dick Raekwon the chef. Why is she named SZA?
Listen, why is Childish Gambino named? I mean, right.
Well, I mean, his at least he has a story. Like, I picked my name Wu-Tang named Jim Raider. Whatever.
I'm going to have to explain that. To my in-law. So every year, every Sunday, really, my wife and I eat dinner typically with her parents. And mm-hmm. we always watch award shows together because they're Sunday nights.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to see Childish Gambino. And Marissa obviously will be like, oh, hey, we saw him live. And they're going to be like, and they're going to have that confused look like Childish Gambino. And I'm going to have to explain to them, number one, what a Wu-Tang name generator is.
Yeah.
And number two, why someone would want such a thing. Anyway, you were saying...
No, we're good. Yeah, okay, so who do you think is going to win this Best New Artist?
I want it to be SZA, but it might be Alicia Cara.
Yeah.
Because she had her own stuff, but then she's also on that Logic record.
Yep, and I don't think Logic's going to get anything, but I could see her getting something because she's on the Logic record.
Can you imagine Logic winning Song of the Year?
Listen, I was just about to say, if Logic wins anything other than, like, Worst Rapper Award...
Wow.
Not Worst Rapper.
Right.
Goofiest Rapper. Goofy Rapper. You know what rhymes with Goofy Rapper?
Lupe Fiasco.
I was going to say Koofy Smacker, but...
I was going to say Loopy Fasco.
Loopy Fat does kind of rhyme if you say it right.
If you really...
All right. Anything else?
On the Grammys? No, I don't think so. I think it's... I mean, listen, if... For year... I mean, the real top line story is, like, for years, people have, like, wanted... better or more representation in hip-hop of hip-hop and modern R&B in the Grammys, and like the I think this is what it looks like, right? I mean, okay. I might not pick individual stuff, but like it's not like I feel like, especially there have been so many years where like Best Rap Album is like one good album and like three terrible albums.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like actually we're in decent shape this year. Maybe my standards are low, but like I'm looking at this and I'm like, wow.
Yeah. Okay, so let's. I guess we can talk about the fake outrage with this.
Wait, what's the outrage?
Because did you see Q-Tip's rant on Instagram?
Listen, that album has two or three good songs. Stop.
I don't even think it has two.
The first two are good.
The first song is good. The first song is cool. Hold on. Didn't they perform at the Grammys last year?
Maybe.
I read somewhere that their performance at the Grammys maybe was a little too much for the Grammy committee. They weren't crazy about it.
I don't think that's why. I think
very
it's just
politically
not,
and racially charged. Yeah, right. I mean, I know it's everything other than, okay, this album just isn't good. I do remember, though, that there was a lot of backlash for Adele winning over Beyonce and just sort of what that represented.
So I've seen some people say that this is the Grammys kind of going out of their way to appease the urban market, the urban community. So let's just nominate everybody. It could be that, or it could also just be that hip hop and R&B is finally being acknowledged as like the voice of this generation.
Yeah.
That it really is as powerful as we've said it's been for the last 20 to 30 years.
It also is dominating commercially.
Right.
Right. Like hip hop in this current new generation, this new upcoming generation of hip hop is dominating streaming.
Right.
And so that's what you're going to see.
We hope you enjoyed Side A of this week's episode. Please check out Side B at clockradiospeakers.com.